Hey everybody, I'm Alicia and welcome to the Medicine in Color podcast, a platform where I highlight the voices of men and women of color in all aspects of medicine and elevate their stories for the world to hear. Let's get to it. What's up, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Medicine in Color podcast. Thank y'all so very much for tuning in and for supporting the podcast. If you haven't already, go back and listen to all the episodes that we have up with some phenomenal people, and there are more great episodes to come. So since the last episode, I have been heavy in books, all gas, no breaks, working to finish out this term strong. We just wrapped up another term, and I am officially two-thirds of the way through first year, which is crazy. Time has truly flown by. It seems like we just started the year like a month or two ago, and now I'm almost done. So time is rapidly moving, and before I know it, I'll be walking across the stage for graduation. So right now, I am on break between the winter and spring term, and I am taking full advantage of it. So I'm spending my time working on the podcast, working out, officially starting my training schedule for the Philadelphia Broad Street 10-mile run. Let's take a moment to talk about that. So this is my first time running a distance run. I have biked before. A friend of mine and I, we biked. I did 25 miles. She did 40 miles in the Tour de Bronx like 2 years ago. And so, but this is my first time like on foot going a distance. So it's the largest 10-mile run in the country. And I was inspired to do this by a woman in my small group who is a 3-time marathoner. And she mentioned the run to me. So I am taking it on with two of my classmates. So y'all pray for me, pray for my knees. And we're going to do it. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll keep you updated on my progress. The next thing I'm doing on this break is just listening to some audiobooks. There's one that I need to finish called The Green Print, and then either going to start Kamala Harris's biography or The Power of Habit. Can't quite decide yet, but we shall see. So I'll let y'all know next episode what I decided to do. So one thing that I have been inspired by this week is the new Nike ad featuring a bunch of athletes, of course, my favorite athlete, Serena Williams. And it is just beautiful to the idea that regardless of what people will say, regardless of people calling you crazy, calling you emotional, whatever it is, you show people what crazy can do. You go out and you beast it. And so that really just moved me and inspired me, gave me chills even. And so that's the thing that's kind of inspired me this week. And so now on to our episode for today. So I got to hang out with my friend Adesola. Adesola is a native of Dallas, Texas, and a current third-year student in South Jersey. She went to undergrad at University of Houston, where she fostered her interest in minority health education. She was very involved in undergrad in a pre-medical club on campus and served as the president her senior year. She graduated honors. Hey, now. She went on to work as a health coach at Methodist Hospital and also an ER scribe during her gap year, which is essentially a year off between when she graduated from undergrad and started medical school. She did a self-guided post-bac at Texas Southern University, where she co-founded the MAPS chapter of SNMA. So now that she's in medical school, she continues to be involved in SNMA, which is a Student National Medical Association, the oldest and largest advocacy group for medical students of color in the U.S. She currently serves as on a national planning committee for the annual American Medical Education Conference, a.k.a. AMEC. And she attributes her success to the support and guidance she received through MAPS and SNMA. Her current interests include the integration of technology and medicine in improving patient health outcomes, disease prevention in minority communities, using food as medicine, and life balance among high-performing individuals. Outside of school, she enjoys spending time with her family and friends, thrifting, meeting people, volunteering, exploring local art museums, and listening to good music. What I know for sure is that Adesola is a phenomenal woman and human who is guided by her Christian faith and who will be an extraordinary physician. So here's my conversation with my friend, student doctor, Adesola Oyewole. Enjoy. All right, y'all, I'm excited for this interview. I am hanging out with student doctor, Adesola Oyewole. And she's a Dallas, Texas native and currently third year medical student. So first and foremost, I do need to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of the inaugural guests of this podcast, for answering the call to be a part of this. I'm grateful in ways that I can't necessarily explain, but I'm grateful. All right, so let's get into our conversation. So first question I have for you is, what do you do and why?
All right, so what do? I'm obviously a third year medical student. I'm training right now to become a physician. I would say my biggest why would be my family. I envision you spending a lot of time with them in the future, and they are the reasons why I work hard. My second why, I have many whys, but my second why would most likely be, if I'm honest, you know, young Black girls that look like me, mm-hmm. I want them to feel that they can do what they need to do in the future and feel empowered to do what they need to do. And there needs to be somebody out there looking out for us. So that's another part of my why.
Yeah.
But there are multiple whys. So
yeah, that's good. That's good. So I know for me, my journey to medicine is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I've done a ton of stuff before starting medical school, worked in many places. So for you, what is your process been like?
Okay. So my process has been interesting. I think I started out always kind of interested in science, mm-hmm. always interested in the human body. I remember being around 4 years old and maybe, you know, I would listen to my dad's heart a mm-hmm. lot. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I would spend a lot of time, like he would, you know, I would just listen to his heart for some reason. I just found it so interesting to just listen and just hear the beat and the pumping. So I think I naturally had an inclination towards like the human body. In high school, I took a couple of human anatomy classes, and those are the classes that I found most interesting. Decided to go to college at the University of Houston.
H-Town,
hold on. You know, and I was undecided. You know, I really wanted to be a doctor, but I wasn't sure that I could do it. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the confidence that I could pursue it. Wasn't sure that I was smart enough. So I went in undecided mm-hmm. and then decided to major in health because I think I still, you know, wanted to do something in the health field, but I wasn't sure if it was medicine for me. Mm-hmm. At that time, I decided, you know, maybe I'll be a nurse, but I'm just enjoying like college life right now. So I'm enjoying my major. I'm enjoying getting to know my classmates. I'm enjoying being a part of like health organizations. And then from there on, I was encouraged, you know, by the organization that I was in to just go ahead and pursue medicine. And I think that was, you know, that was a good idea for me. I took a year off, scribed, after graduation, and then applied to medical school. And then here I am. Okay. Obviously there's more to it, but,
what is a scribe?
Okay. So a scribe is someone who documents, it's someone who works in the emergency department and works mm-hmm. with the emergency medicine physicians, and they document what the patient encounter is. So basically, I'd walk in with a doctor, the person would tell me their complaint, and I would pretty much be like a fly on the wall, but still documenting their whole encounter, kind of taking away that documentation load from the emergency medicine physician. So okay. You're walking with them, you're shadowing them, but you're also an integral part of the team because you're making the physician's job easier. So working in the ED, you get to see a lot of cool things. A lot of people like to do that before they enter into medicine, just to see if that's what they would be interested in doing. So, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. And so I'm going to say this, and you mentioned nursing, right? You, mm-hmm. did you go to nursing school? Did you get accepted to nursing school? Something like that, right?
I did. Yeah. So it's funny, like when I graduated, I still like, even though I had done research in undergrad, done mm-hmm. multiple research projects, you know, was super involved in my undergrad medical group, is very gung-ho and passionate about minorities in medicine. For some reason, I still felt like, you know, I wasn't really sold on medicine. Like, I wasn't sure that I would actually get into medical school.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll be a nurse practitioner. At least I still get to have some autonomy and see patients, and it's easier for me to get in. So I applied to Duke's nursing program, got in, spent the summer there, and after that decided that I actually want to go the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you before, I'm always the type of person that's asking the question why.
Yeah.
And there are certain questions that I wouldn't be able to answer as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had to go the whole way, or I'd be always asking myself, what if?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I decide to go ahead and pursue or go the whole way? So, yeah, I did that first. And then that helped me figure out that this was the right path for me.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a slight to nursing. It's just that you knew what you wanted to do, and you knew that your purpose was a little different.
Yeah.
It's not saying that there's not value there. It's just that this, you know, you knew that your purpose was different.
No, there are amazing nurses. If you're going to be a nurse, be the best nurse you can be.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a physician,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to try to be the best physician that I'm going to be. So that was, you know, that was something that I realized along the way, that I was kind of like, I mean, I had people around me as well help me realize that the reason that I was not pursuing medicine was because of fear. And that's not a good enough reason.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
If you really want to do something,
mm-hmm.
wasn't a good enough reason. And so, you know, I took some time again and then became a scribe and decided that, you know, I have everything it takes. And it turned out I did. I used the same grades that I applied to nursing school to apply to med school.
Yeah.
You know, the same background information, the same research, the same extracurriculars. And turns out I was good enough, but it was just me in my head telling myself that I couldn't do it. And I was wrong, thankfully.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I had people like kind of identify that and point that out for me in my life. So,
yeah. And who are those people? So, I call it the mental gymnastics. I don't know where I got it from, but I got it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The mental gymnastics are real.
Yeah.
Like, so you go through these, regardless of how smart you are, regardless of how talented you are, regardless of how capable you know you are, the question of, am I smart enough? Am I good enough? Am I capable enough? Those things still kind of hang out in you.
Yeah.
And you have to be intentional about silencing those voices and moving forward in the midst of those things.
Right.
So then the question is, who are those people that saw something in you and said, nah, you need to go and do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, so 100%. So I would say there's two people. One person, a significant person in my life, my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I wanted to be a doctor and that I might be, for myself, settling with nursing, like being a nurse practitioner. He knew that and he saw that in me and was just like, encouraged me to continue and continue to move forward. Because if you're going to do it, he felt like you might as well go the full way.
Yeah.
Go hard or go home.
Yeah.
You know, that was his mentality. And, you know, I felt completely supported by him,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think another person that I was talking to at the end of the summer at the nursing program was, you know, one of my colleagues. I remember expressing to her that I didn't feel challenged.
Mm.
I felt like it was just given to me. I felt like it was too easy and I still wanted to work for something. It's
that's
weird that
okay.
I wanted to work a little bit harder. Who would have thought?
Yeah, that's,
you know, like
so you signed up for the voluntary torture that is medical school.
Yes, I did. I wanted to work a little bit harder for something, and I wanted it to have significance to me.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that were kind of pointing me. Like after researching and after spending some time there, you know, I was in the OR at one point in time working, and I was really with the nurses,
mm-hmm.
and I was bored in the OR, and the physician, the surgeon, noticed that I was bored, and he invited me to do the surgery with him on the Da Vinci machine. It's like a robotic.
Oh, yeah. I use Da Vinci. Yeah.
It's like a robotic machine. And I remember thinking to myself, man, if I'm the nurse, I don't know if I'll be able to do this.
Mm, okay.
You know, there were so many things that I felt like I was limiting myself if I chose to do nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like my dad really helped me see that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that was
one person.
Okay. All right. And so, you said a couple of things. Let's think. So let's talk about limiting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily associated with you know, the shift from nursing to medical school, being a physician, just in general. Like, oftentimes I think we fear, we know what we want to do, but fear is, can be very paralyzing. And so how in your, like, how do you overcome fear? Because I know even for me on this podcast, I had the vision for this, but I was terrified to release it. And there's so many things that start to speak to you about, you know, oh, is this going to, are you, can you do this or whatever? Are people going to receive it right? Blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about fear and the reality that fear is not real. Well, let me not say that. That's not true. Fear is a real feeling, but you have to move forward in spite of.
You have to move forward in spite of. And we talked about this before, you know, because there are many people that say, oh, I want to start a podcast, but, you know, like they're either too busy or they're afraid that no one's going to like what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it, I think that even just starting off with like little things, like doing something small that you're afraid to do, like just saying, forget it.
Yeah.
No one else really cares about, you know, no one cares if I'm going to post this, but people that do care that need to see this, they need to see that. So think about the impact that you're supposed to make versus the quote unquote naysayers that are just in your mind.
Yeah. A lot of times it literally is just in your mind.
It's in your mind. Yeah. Like you're literally thinking, you know, the worst that can happen, but it's the benefits outweigh the cost. Like the benefits of doing what you need to do outweigh the cost of not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start like not trusting yourself and not doing things, That starts a whole nother cycle.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to continue moving on. So I feel like you just have to keep on pushing.
Yeah.
Like even though you're afraid, you just have to keep on like doing. And if even if it starts like, at starts off, excuse me, as a small thing, you just have to keep on going.
Yeah, that's real. So and small things.
Yeah, small things. Yeah. I would say start small.
Yeah. So regardless of what it is, even somewhere I was reading, I think somebody, one of these travel people I follow on like social media. Like, you know, you don't travel does not have to be out of the country on a 5-star trip. Travel can be you go to the next town over. You know, you start with think if you're afraid to travel alone, start going to the next town over. Start going to dinner by yourself. Start going to this place by yourself. And then you kind of slowly build up that tolerance for being alone and moving out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
I agree.
So medical school is like, I said it's voluntary torture. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, but you know, medical school is hard.
Yeah.
And there are things that we know that the content is going to be hard. The work is going to be difficult. The load is going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other parts of it that I don't think people necessarily explain that are even more difficult than the actual work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has been the most difficult part for you in medical school and the most rewarding part for you?
Okay. So the difficult part for me, I think was maybe moving to a place that was unknown. And I didn't mention this beforehand, but unfortunately before I started medical school, my dad passed away.
Okay.
You know, and that was like my champion, my guide, my advisor. And that would be hard for anyone, regardless of whether you're in medicine or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt sort of like it was a blanket stripped away from me and that I was out in the cold here, finally here, but out in the cold. So mentally that was tough, but I think that I had to figure out how to navigate that and become mentally strong and figure out reasons why I should stay here, why I need to be here.
Yeah.
That was a huge challenge. And I think that another challenge would have been maybe boards.
Board exams.
Boards.
Dun, dun, dun.
But that was the most rewarding because you felt, I felt like even though I went into this like, you know, dark place where I'm chugging away, sometimes I'm getting results, sometimes I'm not getting results. At the end of the day, the experience taught me to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know and take what I need. Know and to take what I need. And take the exam.
Yeah.
And that was the most rewarding because I felt like I did better than my expectations because I trusted myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So let's like a little quick snippet about board exams. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what is that like? Like people, so a part of, you know, students know you have to take the MCAT to get into medical school. You take exams all the time while you're in medical school. But what about board exams? So what is that like? What, I chuckle because everyone is like, board exams are terrible.
I mean, I guess it depends on the person you're talking to. If you're like a complete gunner or like somebody who's like always consistently did well, then it might not be that big of a deal for you, mm-hmm. right? But boards is something that can determine your future,
yeah.
essentially. Mm-hmm. Like your board score, essentially what they say, I mean, they say that your board score will determine if you match it to dermatology or if you match it to family medicine, it'll determine your specialty, right? So we put a lot of emphasis and people get stressed out mm-hmm. when it comes to that because it feels like your future is tied to a score.
Yeah.
So it is an exam, just like all of the other exams. Obviously, it's an exam that comprises your first 2 years of medical school, mm-hmm. medical knowledge. You have to be able to integrate that knowledge. You have to be able to find the clues in the question
yeah.
and answer the question quickly.
Yeah.
And you're doing that for a couple of months, just studying, just waking up in the morning, maybe working out, going to the library, studying all day, answering questions, and then going home. And it actually doesn't really sound that bad now that I'm saying it, but when you're in it, when you're in it, it's actually, you know, it's mentally taxing because you're looking at those scores and you're wanting to see those percentiles go up. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, you're wondering why am I not getting where I need to be? Like, am I stupid? Like, what's different about me? And those are questions that I had, like, but eventually, you know, I just decided to just trust mm-hmm. and it ended up being okay. So it's like one of those things, you just have to rip it off like a Band-Aid and then now you're done. Like, it's a distant memory. But it's something that I don't think I really understood as a pre-med student that, you know, the MCAT's one thing, but this is just the beginning. You still have to take three more board exams.
Yeah.
So just try to come in and do the best that you can.
Yeah.
And be strong.
Yeah.
And do the best that you can. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to come in hitting hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't have to struggle.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. So for a second, I just want to say that while we're recording this, my phone started ringing a little bit, but I silenced that quickly. And you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, there's some things that I did, you know, learn, you know, during boards. And I think essentially, well, during boards, and I mean, I heard about it before boards, but I didn't really actually implement it until boards. When I first started medical school, one of the girls who had recently graduated, and I guess she was in residency, told me to make sure that I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of taking care of yourself back then was so foreign to me.
Yeah.
I did not know what she meant. I asked her, what do you mean? What do you mean take care of yourself? Like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean?
Go to sleep.
Eat. And yes, like, these are basic things, but this is so important.
Yeah.
So like during boards, like, you know, I tried to make sure that I got as much sleep as I could, but I did take one day a week. And that was a game changer for me. I took one day a week, Friday, to do something that I liked and had fun with friends.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to let, you know, I needed to still be a human being. And that was one of the things I felt like was a game changer for me. My score did not start changing until that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I feel that. We talked a little bit about, like, you know, we just took an exam where I am 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Yeah.
We took an exam on my birthday. I can say that. And one of the things that I realized worked was while I studied hard, yes, I also took breaks. Relaxed, went to the gym, watched a little bit of TV, which is rare because I have a TV, but it comes on every maybe once a week or so.
Yeah.
And so Yeah. So taking breaks, that's essential. Like you can, and you start to, you start to see improvements. You start to do better. Some people can, you know, whatever works for you, works for you when in your study life. So shifting gears a little bit, or maybe along same lines, maybe in terms of personal growth. So you're a third year now. What have you learned about yourself in the last 3 years and how have you grown?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to be yourself. To be yourself. Oh, two things. Be yourself. You don't gain anything by not speaking up. You don't gain anything by not sharing your ideas.
Yeah.
You don't gain anything by feeling like a shell of yourself. You're just hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They have you here in medical school for a reason. You're, you know, you've made it through. If you've made it through first year, you've made it through first year. You're supposed to be here. So that is one of the biggest things. I think that my first year, you know, I wasn't sure how it would fit in. You know, you're one of seven Black people out of a class of 184.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you know, I felt different, but it's okay to be different. And I think personally for myself, another thing that I learned was something that I needed was community. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, I became your friend. And why I stuck in the Student National Medical Association, because those are the things that keep you going. My friends, my family, and my community, my church group, those are things that keep me going. Those are things that I live for, which might sound, you know, those are things that I live for. And that's the thing that I really learned about myself. I think in the beginning, when I first started, I was, you know, very type A personality, only cared about school, nothing else. I was ruthless.
Ruthless.
I only cared about school.
Yeah.
And I don't care about your other little jobs. I only care about medicine. There was no balance, basically, right? Basically, like, I could care less about anything else. If it wasn't medicine, I didn't want to hear about it. You know? And I think that I learned that I'm more than just this. And I think that it's important that you learn that. Because the moment something goes south, if you're just medicine, you go south with it.
That's good.
So, even, you know, I had to learn that lesson. I think that's, you know, one of the big takeaways. Like, it's medicine is amazing, and I'm privileged to be here. I'm privileged to be able to take care of people and be a part of their lives where they need me or need the medical team the most. There are also things that are important that you need to take care of outside of that. You have a life outside of that. And that's what's going to sustain you and help you become a good physician and continue being a good physician.
That's right. So get out and do stuff and be a person outside of medicine and school. Don't be a robot.
Nobody, I mean, people like, they like robots.
Robots are cool, but don't be a robot. Be a person with a personality. And whatnot. So you mentioned community. Who's couple of questions. So I asked someone else this and I'm gonna ask you too. Who is in your group chat gassing you up? And who's a part of your community?
So I have many group chats. I'll just start off by that.
Group chats.
Original group chat, I would say, is a group of girls that I grew up with in Texas. My best friends, and we call ourselves Goons in the City. It's kind of a whack name. It's kind of whack. But we're constantly hyping each other up. Like, one of us is in media. One of us is in, like, beauty and media, and she does well. Another person is in like, counseling. Another person is an ICU nurse. You know, we all, like, just, you know, have different interests. And just, like, when anytime someone, like, accomplishes something, you know, we're always there to celebrate. We love each other. I have my SNMA group chats. My Black med students group chats. I have you. We're not in a group chat.
We're not in a group chat.
But you're one of my people.
We're in a text chat.
We're in a text chat.
We text.
We have a conversation.
We have a conversation.
Yes. So yeah, those are the checks that I have right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned SNMA a couple of times. I don't know if people know what SNMA is. What is SNMA?
So Student National Medical Association is the largest and oldest organization for African American medical students in the United States of America. I believe that it was founded because the American Medical, it was founded as, it's a subset of the NMA, which is the National Medical Association. The National Medical Association was founded because African Americans were not allowed into the American Medical Association. So SNMA is part of the pipeline that is the National Medical Association.
Gotcha.
So at the professional level, when you're an attending, African American, you know, physicians would be in the National Medical Association. As a medical student, when you're in medical school, you could be in the Student National Medical Association. As an undergrad pre-medical student, you can be in MAPS. And there's also HPREP, which is at the elementary, high school, and junior high level. So it's sort of like a pipeline, just ushering, you know, African Americans into medicine.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. Very important for community because we talked about, you know, in order to get through this, you cannot do this as an island.
Yeah.
You have to have community. And if being around people that look like you is important, then that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
If it doesn't matter, then kudos. That's great.
Yeah.
But Student National Medical Association is always going to be there.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. And so you, what do I want to ask you? So what, as a young person in medicine, you know, you have your personal vision for where you want to go and whatnot. So what does it look like for you long term? I know that, you know, you're a third year now, there's still residency and all that stuff. What's the long goal?
I feel like I'm going to have many goals, but if I can set aside, my dad used to make me set aside like these 1 year plans and 10 year plans, right? So if I could say in the next 10 years, it's a goal that I would want to accomplish would be like a residency director.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
It's not like, you know, a big, huge goal, but it's a doable goal.
Yeah.
And
that is a big goal, though, to be a woman of color.
Yeah.
In a position as a residency director. Yeah. That's a huge goal.
That is something, you know, and I want to be scouting, of course, and, so that's what I want to do. That's my goal. Depending on what specialty I decide to choose, I'm still figuring that out in third year. You know, I have, you know, some very good prospects. First lines. But in, no matter what I want to do, I want to be an expert in my field. And then at least be an emergency, Well, I want to go into emergency medicine, but at least be a residency director.
Yeah.
At one point.
Gotcha. Okay. so you mentioned your dad a couple of times. And what, if you could... If you think about something that your parents have taught you or a core value or a piece of advice that your parents have given you that you take with you everywhere. And so I know there are a couple of things that my parents have taught me tons of things. And as I get older, I recognize how those things guide my life. And, you know, I've been taught by example to be compassionate for other people. To be hardworking, to be civically engaged, to advocate for other people, to care about community. And so what have your parents taught you, your dad, your mom, what have your parents taught you that you take with you everywhere that kind of guides your life?
Okay. My mom, she shows me that anything is possible.
Yeah.
Honestly, because this woman is like single mom, you know, doing everything by herself, put us through private school, which is, I mean, I have a younger sister, which, you know, is rare, but she wanted the best for us. So I think that she shows me that no matter what, if you are determined, you have a vision and you're willing to stick to it, anything is possible. My dad has taught me so much, but the thing that sticks to me the most was like one of the last things that he said to me, don't focus on the negative.
Yeah.
Do not focus on. He said, Daisy, it's my nickname. Mm-hmm. Are you a negative person? Don't focus on the negative.
Yeah.
And I think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Life is too short.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be many people when you come into medicine. I found that, you know, many doctors are all, you know, some of them complain about their profession, mm-hmm. you know, but why? Why focus on that?
Mm-hmm.
Why not focus on the impact that you can make? Make your life a little bit easier. Make your life a little bit happier by focusing on the good.
Yeah.
And that's what I choose to do.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So in terms of advice you'd give the next generation, I mean, you are in, you know, we're still young and cool.
Next generation.
Right?
I'm still, the next.
Listen, we are the next generation.
I mean,
we're still young and cool and hip.
Yeah. Young, cool, and hip.
Young, cool, and hip. I sound like a, I don't know, an old person.
It's okay.
Oh, that's funny. You know, there are young people. I think about my younger family members, my cousins that are like in high school and transitioning to middle school. And as they, you know, prepare to think about who they want to be in the world, what advice would you give them? You know, if you could, even if you could speak to your younger self, and if she was coming up now, what would you give? What, maybe those are two different questions.
I would say not to limit yourself
mm-hmm.
by race.
Mm-hmm.
Not to limit yourself by what you think your quote unquote abilities or what other people think your abilities are. And if you want to do something, put your mind to it and do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I think that it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that, oh, I don't look like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's not been anyone that's done this before me. How am I going to do it? But you can be the first one.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's completely fine. You don't have to have somebody that's done it before. You might make it easier, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it.
Yeah.
So.
That's advice for me too, right? It's advice for us all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's do some fun questions. You ready? These are going to be cool. when you are not a medical student, you're always a medical student right now, at least.
Always.
When you're not in your white coat, what are you doing?
I could be at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I went to Sheck West concert like last weekend during my special rotation. I could be with my family.
Yeah.
With my mom cutting it up. Mm-hmm. Just hanging out. I could be at an art museum, just exploring, yeah. meeting different people, talking to people in the coffee shop, just random conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And one place you want to travel that you have not been to yet?
South Africa.
Ooh, okay. Where in South Africa?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Cape Town.
Cape Town. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. South Africa is on my list. One of my friends went to South Africa. Earlier, I want to say it was earlier this year,
or maybe
it was.
Or
no, she went like as like vacation,
okay.
just to go. She was on her list and she wanted to go, so okay. she went. I want to say it. I don't know when she went, but anyway, South Africa is definitely on my list. All right, and these other questions are gonna get a little strange. All
right. Okay.
So, creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Crunchy. Me too. I like
easy.
I like my peanut butter crunchy.
And on bread. In the microwave with milk.
Oh, see, I don't like No.
I'll take it too far.
No, you take it way too far. I like my peanut butter crunchy and cold.
Yuck.
It's strange. But I like my
okay.
peanut butter crunchy and cold.
Nothing wrong with that, actually. I'm sorry. Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's cool. I like it. I like it. I like peanut butter. I'm not going to say irrational addiction to peanut butter, but I love peanut
Nothing
butter.
Is irrational about it.
all right.
I actually have like this peanut butter that's like powdered peanut butter now because mm-hmm. it was getting too ridiculous. Like,
okay.
I can eat scoops, right?
Yeah, so, me too.
So now it's just like this powdered peanut butter that just sits there. It's like, I know I always have it when I, you know, can want it when I want to eat it, but I'm not going to eat it because it's powders.
That's real. And so you can put it in smoothies if you want to. That's it. I like peanut butter. I like smoothies. My favorite smoothie is strawberry, banana, peanut butter, and maybe like chocolate protein if I want to put it in there. Or it sounds strange combination, but it tastes good together.
You normally separate those. It's interesting.
Yeah, they're good. Okay. It's good, man. It's good. All right. Beach life or city life?
Beach life. Wait, for vacation or real life?
Real life. Vacation can be real life.
City life.
City life.
Yeah.
All right. What city?
Houston.
Houston. All day? Houston.
H-Town.
Are you friends with Beyonce?
I wish. In my wildest dreams. In my wildest dreams, I would be friends with her. It'll happen one day. We're both Virgos, by the way.
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't know a lot about signs.
Me either.
I know that I'm a Sagittarius, but I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody knows that, you know, email me.
Yeah.
All right. So, and let's see. This is a personal question. Socks or barefoot?
Socks.
Yes.
All day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort.
Yes.
Over being exposed.
Yes.
Anytime.
Comfort over being exposed. I love socks. Fun fact that when I used to go home, like just, you know, to travel home, my mother would have, I'm from Georgia, so a fruit bowl from Publix. Mm-hmm. For all the folks that have ever been to Publix, you know, Publix is the greatest grocery store known to man, next to Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's. And socks. Okay. Always.
Okay.
I love socks. I just love them.
So she would just carry them in her bag?
She would, like, when I
bring them home.
If I knew that if I was coming home, like so when I lived in New York or somewhere else and I was going home to visit, my mother would have a fruit bowl from Publix
with some
and some socks with
wow,
for me.
That's love.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling
that
you.
That is love.
That's my love language, some socks and a fruit bowl. When it is all said and done, the heavy question is last. When it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy. It's hard. It's hard. You know, I'm 28.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Honestly, I want my legacy to be someone. I want to be known as somebody who helps you feel comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Who showed you that you are valued. Who showed you that you were loved.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of other things. But
well, what are the other things?
No, this is not. It's a superficial thing.
Woo!
No. But I honestly, if it comes down to it, say I died, you know, I would want people to remember that, like, I was a person that was accepting and that saw you as a person and that wanted you to feel comfortable and be yourself.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, that wasn't the last. I do have another question.
Okay.
What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you reading right now? If anything, I mean, do you have time? But when you do have time, what are you?
When I do have time, when I did have time, this was a long time ago. It's already done now. I was watching Insecure. That was a while back. I'm not watching anything right now.
Yeah.
What's
in your headphones on your way to work?
A podcast.
Yeah.
The Happy Doc podcast or The Read. Or Women on the Rise. I always have a podcast that I'm listening to.
And now Medicine and Color.
And now Medicine and Color, for sure, 100%. What's the last question? What am I reading?
What are you reading?
Or
audiobooking, or not, you know?
So audiobooking would be The Next One is Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
I have it already. I just haven't started listening to it, which is
kind of... Oh, gosh. I can go on and on and on and on about the
book. I'm excited.
I love it.
I'm excited. So that'll be the thing I'm reading next.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Again, I'm incredibly grateful that you agreed to be a part of the podcast. And thank you guys for listening. See you next time.
Me.
Or hear you next time. Or talk to you next time. Whichever one.